Hey, it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Every day on the show, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Today, it's going to have a Salt Lake flavor to it. Let's cue the benchmark, and Josh Newman of the Salt Lake Tribune will be joining us for this segment.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Josh Newman covers Utah football for the Salt Lake Tribune. Let's kick this around. You just talked to Mark Harlan, the athletic director at Utah. What do you know, Josh?
Mark Harlan sounds very worn right now, and rightfully so. UCLA Utah is off. They were, you know, teetering all week. There were zero positives Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but the margin for error was very small. They had one positive test of a travel squad member today. And then after consultation with the conference and health officials, they decided that it's not worth it. It's just not safe. So for the second week in a row, Utah will have their season opener called off here.
Is there a chance Utah shuts it down? Did he address that? The season, is it in jeopardy?
He did address that. That was asked by a couple of us. I don't think the season is in jeopardy just yet. As it stands, you know, obviously the kids want to play. You know, the adults in charge, they would like to get the kids to the point where they're playing football. It's a day-to-day thing. They're going to take the weekend to, you know, to test some more and to kind of assess. And then it sounds like the next steps either way will come on Sunday. Utah is supposed to host USC at Rice-Eccles Stadium next Saturday. And again, it needs to be said that the COVID-19 situation in Salt Lake City, in Salt Lake County, in the community, is not good. Cases are on the rise, spiking, positive test rate up. So it's only Friday. We'll see how the weekend kind of shakes out. But I don't know how excited USC is going to be to, you know, to kind of travel and come into that situation here.
Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune with us. Even before this game was off, you had players like Nick Ford, who is a well-known veteran Utah player, saying he was not going to be allowed to play. What went into that? Why not?
My understanding is that I don't want to call it issues, but there was definitely some conversation between Utah and the medical, you know, the medical personnel there, having conversations with LA County and the city of Pasadena in regards to the quarantine protocol. The city of Pasadena told me specifically a couple of times this week that they are going by the CDC guidelines. The CDC guidelines is a 14-day quarantine, which is harsher than what the Pac-12 calls for, than what Salt Lake City is calling for. So that was definitely a bit of contention over what the quarantine situation needs to be. It's been made clear to me this week that based on a 14-day quarantine, you would have, you know, X number certain personnel available for Utah, but it would be a much different set of players available if it was less than 14 days.
That's interesting. How frustrated are the players at this point? Do you get a sense that, you know, they're sitting around, they're now going to watch 2 weeks of the Pac-12 season go on without them?
Not only that, I mean, isn't UCLA playing Cal? Did I see that correctly?
Yeah, UCLA and Cal have been set for Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. So UCLA gets to play a game, so it's, you know, so they'll be frustrating. But yeah, look, these are young men who have put a lot of time, a lot of effort, not just lately, but their entire lives as athletes, and they're Division I football players. You know, they're living out the dream, and, you know, COVID's been tough for a lot of reasons for the last few months. And then, look, last weekend you got to the doorstep of playing the opener against Arizona. Friday afternoon it gets called, you know, it gets called off. You know, you go through this week, again, zero positive tests, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It looks like we're going to get on a plane and play a football game. One positive test shut the whole thing down. It has to be frustrating, not only for the players, but look, for Kyle Whittingham, for his staff, through, you know, for Mark Harlan, who's walked through hell like a few times here. This guy is doing everything he can to produce a football season, and it's just one roadblock after the other.
Is this Halloween related? Is it weather related? Where what are we looking at here?
Probably somewhere in between. Mark Harlan did not go all the way, you know, with the Halloween topic. He did say, you know, based on the calendar where we are, in fairness, you know, the weather in Salt Lake City was pretty warm for, you know, a long time. It did turn cold around Halloween, November 1st, November 2nd. So, you know, my estimation, just kind of reading between the lines, it's probably some combination of college kids being college kids on Halloween and, yeah, the weather turned and everybody kind of hit inside once it got cold.
Josh Newman is our guest, Salt Lake Tribune. You do a hell of a good job covering this team. I appreciate you giving us some time because I know you scrambled off of a call with Mark Harlan there. You got some writing to do, so I won't keep you long. But, you know, the big picture here in the Pac-12 conference, they're doing it for the money. They're playing these games for the money, and the kids want to play. Is there a point, do you think, if the cancellations continue on a week-to-week basis, losing two games a week, that the Pac-12 shuts the whole thing down, or do they just accept it's 2020, this patchwork thing is going to have to be what we do for another 5 weeks?
This is just my personal opinion. This is getting a little ridiculous. You know, I thought that they did the right thing, and they waited, and they got the antigen testing, and they waited, and they waited, and, you know, they came up with a 6-game regular season, a 7th game with a Pac-12 title game. That, to me, at the time, felt like, okay, this is a legitimate season. You're going to play 7 games. You're giving your conference champion, whoever it may be, you're giving them the opportunity to maybe qualify for the college football playoff if somebody went unbeaten. At the time, I was on board. As we stand here now, this is now getting a little ridiculous. We've seen problems, you know, week one with some cancellations. We see what's happening with Utah now. I was on a plane all morning, but it appears to me that the situation at Arizona State is quite dire. There are other games this weekend that are in doubt. At some point, you need to cut your losses, because the longer this goes on with the cancellations, you're looking at a 2-game season, a 3-game season. It's time to save some face at some point. I don't know that we've gotten there just yet, but it's getting close.
Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune, I appreciate you. We'll read you, and we'll get you on the show down the line. Thanks for joining us.
John, thanks a lot.
There it is, from Salt Lake City. That is the Culligan Water Cooler Report, brought to you by Culligan of Oregon. Some news in there. Go to culliganoforegon.com if you want clean water that tastes great in your household. Let them do the free water checkup, culliganoforegon.com. The 2 o'clock hour is ahead. Anna will join us in the 2 o'clock hour. We will kick around a variety of topics, some of them sports-related. I appreciate everybody who makes this show part of your day. One more hour ahead on a great Friday.
BFT. Live from the home studios, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Next week, next Thursday and Friday, right here on this radio show, we got big guests booked, but we also have a little bit of an event going on that I want you to know about. For those of you who support kids in your community, the Baldfaced Truth Foundation's annual radio-a-thon and auction will be on next Thursday and Friday. Among the guests scheduled next week, Ari Spears, comedian, will be in on Thursday. Efforting Mario Cristobal, Chip Kelly, and some others for next week as UCLA goes to Oregon. But Thursday and Friday will be an important day for kids in your community. Like, forget this show. It'll be important because we're going to raise some money for kids to participate in programs, art, music, education, athletics. Schools, of course, because of the distance learning, have pivoted a little bit with their needs. There were a lot of needs that I never expected kids would have when it came to being able to learn at a distance. There are still some kids who are at a disadvantage in their house when it comes to activities and equipment and availability. And the BFT Foundation, as you have seen, we try to be nimble. When the wildfires hit the state of Oregon, we pivoted and created a wildfire fund. But this is our annual fundraiser that is our thing. This is it. Next Thursday and Friday. And I know that there are a lot of families out there that have made sacrifices during the pandemic, and maybe they've lost income, and maybe they can't afford to give this year. And I know a lot of charities have said, gosh, it's going to be a really tough year to raise funds. Now more than ever, kids, schools, families need your help. And so if next Thursday and Friday, or even between next Thursday and Friday, if you're not sure you're going to make the radio show, you want to go to baldfacetruth.org and just make a tax-deductible donation. I know that you are impacting kids in your community. If you're in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports Eugene, you are helping kids in the Eugene area in Springfield. If you are in Salem or Portland and you make a donation, those funds will be earmarked for kids in your community. So you're going to help somebody in your backyard, and it can be a donation of as little as $25 that can make a difference for a kid. It can be the difference between them participating in an event and not participating. And the ripple effect of this will go on for months. I've been reaching out, like I do every year, to the Timbers and the Thorns and the Blazers and Oregon State and the Hillsboro Hops and the Winterhawks, and asking, hey, I know it's a weird year. I don't know what you guys can do, because usually what we do are these tremendous VIP-style events where, you know, you can get down on the field or you can be on the sideline, and you know, none of that is happening right now. But what I'm getting back from these entities is that, look, we'll put it on the calendar. We'll put it on the calendar for 2021. So they're making it available, and we've got great auction items. But frankly, we have a bunch of businesses as well that have decided that they will provide incentives for people who just make cash donations or call in with a credit card number. And if you are a business out there that would like to donate gift cards to your business or services, it can be as simple as if you have a gutter cleaning business and you go, look, I'll clean somebody's gutters for free if you make a $250 donation to the BFT Foundation. We've had that kind of stuff in the past, and every dollar counts. So if you're one of those businesses, I encourage you, too, to go to baldfacetruth.org and just drop us an email. Tell us about your business. If you're somebody who wants to make a donation, you can do it. And frankly, next Thursday and Friday will be a big day, like as we effort some big guests on the show and talk about the impact that co-curricular activities made in the lives of people. I know last year we talked with Mario Cristobal. I think it was on the day of the Radiothon, and he talked about sort of the impact in his home growing up of a family that could afford to put the kids through sports programs. There are some families out there that can't afford it, and especially can't afford it this year. So if you can give this year, in 2020, my expectations are low. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, there are some years where the economy is thriving, and I come into the Radiothon, and I'm like, this feels like it could be a really big year for us. I don't know what's going to happen next Thursday and Friday. And it's an unusual year. And I'm hopeful that people who can make a donation can find it in their budget to make a donation, or even a recurring donation, will choose to do that next Thursday and Friday. And of course, we'll have a great, entertaining, fun radio show on Thursday and Friday. And a lot of the auction items will be online. You'll have an ability to bid on things beginning midweek of next week. And it'll be a lot of fun. But to put that on your calendar, get it top of mind, or maybe give it some thought. I've had a lot of charities that have told me that they're not doing their fundraisers because, you know, they feel like it's not going to be worthwhile. I'm going to do the fundraiser. We're going to do it right here on this show. But we're going to do it with a way that just says, look, if you have the ability to give, please do. Please support kids in your community, because the BFT Foundation, which has no employees, has very little overhead, just likes to pass those dollars right to the schools and the families and the teachers who can most put it to work. So put it on your radar, so to speak. All right, the 2 at 2. We'll do that now because it's the 2 o'clock hour.
The 2 at 2.
I don't want to talk anymore about the Pac-12 conference. I'm so sick of talking about games and rescheduled and what you feel comfortable with and what I don't feel comfortable with and what you do feel. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to talk about positive things here in the 2 o'clock hour. How about the Miami Marlins and Kim Ng, the first female GM in Major League Baseball? Hats off to Kim Ng. Hats off to the Marlins for giving an opportunity to the first female general manager, not just in Major League Baseball, but in any of the major professional North American sports. Ng is 51. She comes from Major League Baseball's front office. She was the highest-ranking Asian-American female baseball executive, but she has a reputation of just being damn good. She was the assistant GM for the Yankees and the Dodgers, made the playoffs 8 times, won the World Series 3 times. She probably knows what she's doing. The Marlins are not dumb. Derek Jeter, in a statement, said her work expanding baseball and softball, they're going to help us grow the game. They're also going to help the Marlins, who have not traditionally been a great franchise. 5 GMs in their history. Going to help the Marlins be more competitive. Kim Ng and the Marlins, they become a thing. A lot of Marlins fans out there today. Second thing in my 2 at 2, the Masters is on. And I know it feels strange, but the Masters being on this time of year, it's not normal. Of course it's not. But it's been interesting to me to see every once in a while in my timeline, the Masters are some, you know, somebody missed a putt, somebody made a putt, somebody's 4 under, somebody's 5 under. But when I look at this sports season, and I see the Masters at Augusta National going on right now, and I see that, you know, at the top of the leaderboard, you got 4 players tied at 9 under, 2 more players back just 1 stroke of the lead, another group of about 5 or 6 players that are just 2 strokes off the lead. This weekend is promising to become one of the great scrambles in Masters history. Scramble for the title and the trophy. Tiger's currently at 4 under, in case you're wondering, 5 strokes off the lead. Brooks Koepka at 5 under, 4 strokes off the lead. This is anybody's tournament right now. Among golfers, there are 26 golfers that are within 4 strokes of the lead at Augusta National. It's going to be a great scramble to the finish. And maybe this is the year, even though it's happening in November, that the Masters becomes that great escape. Because I don't have the same feeling when I watch golf that I have with college football, that something's missing, that something's not right. It just looks like golfers on the golf course to me. So thank you to the Masters for bringing a small slice of normalcy to the sports landscape, even though the Masters is not traditionally held in November. That's your 2 at 2. We do it every day on the show. I want to ask Judah Newby, Peter Sampson, of those 2 things, Kim Ng getting the general manager job of the Marlins, or the Masters maybe helping people over this weekend with bad weather, especially in our part of the country, and you know, a lot going on with serious issues and flattening the curve and all that. Which one of those 2 things you want to talk about? What's the bigger story? What would you have led with? Judah Newby, Peter Sampson.
Well, I mean, as a baseball guy, I definitely am fascinated by the Marlins story, and I say that while I'm watching the Masters right now. So, but I'll go with the Marlins hire. You know, Kim Ng, I've obviously heard of her in baseball circles, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this means with Miami. I mean, Jeff Passan put it well on Twitter earlier today. The Marlins' 3 highest-ranking officials are now 2 women and an ex-shortstop because their COO is Carolyn O'Connor. Their new GM is Kim Ng, and, of course, Derek Jeter running that show. It's a pretty fascinating story and franchise to watch. And, frankly, they had a lot of COVID stuff early in this season, and then Don Mattingly turned that thing around. They beat the Cubs and made a playoff run.
Yeah, what I hope is that this actually sort of opens things up in other sports, too. I know that there are so many women that are sort of on the verge that maybe deserve a coaching job, especially in the NBA. You think of Becky Hammond, who served as an assistant, but it's more than qualified, and we keep getting the same retreads. I wonder if people will actually look at someone with a great resume and go, oh, you actually can do this and not just pay it lip service, and then maybe it expands to the other major sports.
Yeah, I like that. I like that it's going to make people think. I also look and I go, if we're being real, you know, her experience with the Dodgers, her experience with the Yankees as the assistant GM, and then those teams go on and win three World Series, she didn't get a GM job after that. She had to wait. She is now 51 years old. It was kind of getting to the point with Kim Ng if it was going to be a now or never thing. And I know that there's been a lot of incentives that baseball and NFL's talked about this as well. They give incentives to teams for promoting and hiring.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.